Hello, friends, and welcome to your second weekly helping of the Kings of Anglia podcast. I'm your host, Mark Heath. I'm back. The whole team is here, which is tremendous. We've stopped squad rotation because that seems to be upsetting town. So we're all back together today in the IO radio bunker. It's very cold outside, but in here, it's white hot with the heat of the brain trust of the KOA squad, who are, of course, to my left, sporting a very nice shirt and a new haircut. It seems to me, Hutch, you're looking very tidy indeed, if you don't mind me saying.
Thanks, mate.
And your eyebrows are on point.
Yep, I pride myself on them.
It is, of course, Hutch Hogan.
Say new haircut, it's just a shorter version of the previous
well,
one.
That is
same haircut for 20 years.
It's basically what all haircuts are, aren't they?
Well,
I suppose if you have a restyle,
yeah,
I guess.
I will never have a restyle.
Yeah.
Is what it is.
I like it.
Good.
It looks tight.
Looks good in the headphones, doesn't it?
Mm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's
a good radio haircut.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that's a compliment or not.
Given those eyebrows are real good going over.
Aren't they, though?
I've just noticed that.
Them boys are popping.
Yeah, not, you know, I asked for them to be trimmed. I didn't do them myself.
Mm.
Maybe a bit short.
Yeah.
I don't know, but...
You're looking, if you don't mind me saying...
They'll be back, don't
worry. Don't mind me saying, Hutch, you're looking quite pretty today.
Oh, thank you very much.
Don't you think?
Really, yeah, shows off the eyelashes.
It's the eyelashes as well, isn't it?
Yeah, the shorter the rest of the hair, the longer the eyelashes look, and they are the main feature.
Have you ever been tempted to bang a bit of mascara on them bad boys, just to have a look?
Don't need to, mate.
You don't, do you?
No, permanent. I've got permanent.
Beautiful
natural
eyes.
Natural mascara on there anyway.
Beautiful eyes.
Yep.
As I say, the whole squad is here this week, which means that back in is Dr. Stuart Watson, a man who doesn't have to worry about new haircuts.
It's very true.
He does.
Back in. You rotated.
Yeah, I've so forgotten how many I've missed or what's going on with the rotation. But yes, I'm back in, obviously. You were here on Monday. I do apologise. You weren't here last time I was here. Anyway, you're here now.
Here.
That's the main thing.
Now we gel.
Now everyone is here.
Build some momentum.
Now we're vibing. How are the nostrils? Because you've had quite a good clear out pre-show.
Yeah, we've all been infected by a bit of the old... sniffles this week, haven't we?
Apart from me, which makes me worried. I'm now sitting in a sickness box with three other sick people.
Yeah, just accept your fate.
Yeah, I'm going to get it. Good to have you with us, Stewie. And, of course, across the room, the man who we think probably didn't have the first case of coronavirus now in the UK. Still with us, sporting that great beard, producer Ross.
Thank you. This is going to be my new song, I think. My new theme too.
Did you do that? Do you do the actions to your missus when you're singing it to her?
I did it once and she wasn't impressed.
Yeah,
so I stopped.
I'm not surprised.
So, yeah.
And then she did that to you.
Yeah,
that,
around the
and
face.
That was it.
How are you, Roscoe?
Good. The sniffles are going, but still there.
Yeah, he's still every so often in the office just going, oh, Jesus. Which is his kind of stock phrase.
Yeah.
Anyway.
When was the last time you were 100% injury-free? You've been carrying a niggle all season, haven't you?
Yeah, no, in the summer, to be fair. I was fresh in the summer. In Germany, I was fine, weren't I?
Well, you're suffering from other stuff, weren't you?
Yeah, that's defined fine. Yeah.
It's the time you couldn't ride that bike because you had a little poorly foot.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah,
and I was horny as well.
Oh, no, you do have to bring that up. Oh, dear. As we established anyway, boys, of course, in one of the recent podcasts, Ross peaked at 14. So it's all downhill from here.
Yeah.
Peak Ross is 14, so he's pretty much in old age now, on his way out.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Boys, it's tremendous to have everyone here. Before we start, and obviously this is ostensibly the preview show ahead of a massive game at Sunderland this weekend. Couldn't be bigger. I want to get into... That was a bit Partridge, wasn't it? Football. Sex and all that. Boys, you've been moonlighting. Obviously, we are the Kings of Anglia, but you boys have been out and about doing other podcasts, which is tremendous. I want to give them the push.
Well,
you and me haven't, Stu, because we're consistently...
Loyalty.
Exactly. Although, to be fair, as we'll get on to in a minute. First of all, I want to start with Bart. Bartosz Białkowski dropped last night a special KOA podcast brought to you by the man with those luscious eyelashes, Hutchie Hogan. It's very interesting. I've got to the bit... There's some fantastic stuff in there about Paul Hurst. He's just talking about Mick McCarthy at the moment. It's very good indeed. That is out there now for you to consume. Get it into your ears. Hutchie, how was it? It was good, wasn't it?
Yeah, very good. Enjoyed that. Very, very honest.
That's
all you want from someone, really, isn't it? Honesty. We knew that he didn't get on with Paul Hurst. But,
yeah.
It was nice to hear a little bit more about that, I guess, and some other things as well. Some of the highs during his time at Ipswich as well, which is how he'll be remembered, really, I think. So yeah, all in all, a good one. I'd give that a listen.
Yeah, get that one there. Should, if you subscribe, and if you don't, what are you doing? It should already have dropped onto your phone. So that's number one of our extra podcast. Number two also involved you, Hutchie Hogan. You did a cross-border initiative. You merged with the non-league podcast presented by the Big Porker, formerly of this parish, Mike Bacon, to have a chat with Dean Bowditch as well, which again was very interesting, I thought.
Yeah, I sat in on that one because Mr. Porker openly admitted that he didn't remember much of Dean's time as an Ipswich player. So yeah. It needed someone that maybe did.
It was good, man. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, he's a really good guy. Mm. Still playing. He's playing for Stowmarket, obviously, locally here. But he's also started an office job at MK Dons. So interesting to hear someone talking about making a transition from football to office work.
It sounds stupid to say, because when I think of Dean Bowditch, I think of like a 16-year-old who looked about 10 with that kind of bleach blonde hair. And when he started talking on the pod, I was expecting him to be like, hello. But he's obviously now he's almost 40, isn't he?
No, he's the same age as me.
Well, that's almost 40.
33.
Okay, it's close to 30. But to hear like I don't know, in my head I decided that he was going to be kind of still the youthful Dean Bowditch. It was
all
very interesting.
In our 30s.
Very interesting to hear. Anyway, so that's number two of the bonus podcast. That's also in your KOA feed to listen to if you haven't already. Number three, you're going to have to search for Glancing Header, which is our ladies' football podcast presented by Katie Sandals. Moonlighting with her is producer Ross.
We're not talking about ladies, you know, those sort of ladies. We're talking about football ladies.
What?
Just, you know, context. Okay, context.
Okay, right, yeah. Fine. You are not producer Ross on that show. You are presenter Ross. And in that context, you were with Katie, you were talking to Joe Sheehan, who is the ladies' manager, of course, the man who has guided them to this matchup against Man City a week on Sunday, the biggest game in Ipswich Town ladies' history. I met Joe in the office the other day. I was extremely impressed with him. Very, very switched on individual. So just tell us a little bit about the Glancing Header pod and where they can find it.
During the show, I didn't say much because I was half dead. So I let Katie and Joe sort of chat and I was sort of going, I'm still here, guys.
Yeah.
Just, you know, here's my input. But yeah, they're just talking about their run, his ambitions and stuff like that. Yeah, find it on all the platforms.
All the good ones.
All the good ones.
Absolutely. So download that and give that
Pod
a listen Sprout. As well. Podsprout. Yeah. What are some of the other
Buzz,
ones?
Buzzsprout.
Buzzsprout. That's
you know, when I upload this episode, I'll stick a link to the Glancing Header podcast at the bottom.
Good
of
idea.
The, of the description.
Good idea. And there's going to be more coming, isn't there? Because obviously yes. You're going to be building up to that game next week. I think you're going to do a special preview podcast with some of the girls.
With, one of your favourite players, Blue Wilson.
Yes, so Blue Wilson is my favourite player for Ipswich Town. And of course, she's going back to Man City, so fantastic. Boys, let's move on. Let's talk about Ipswich Town men's side, who, obviously, you talked on Monday, got tonked at the weekend, embarrassing, farcical stuff at the weekend. Now they go straight into another game against promotion rival Sunderland at the weekend, another giant in the division. I want to start this preview by making three statements to each of you, one each. And I want you to run with them, tell me what you think, and everyone else can get involved as well. So I'm going to start off, first of all, with Roscoe, who, by the way, I should call Rostradamus from now on, because back in the day when we did the SWOT analysis and Town was sitting pretty on top of the table, Ross pointed out they weren't making enough chances, weren't scoring enough goals. He was the only one who predicted that it would lose against Peterborough. I laughably predicted a 3-1 win. Ross brought the mood down by saying, no chance, 2-0 defeat. So, Ross, you've been accurate in your thoughts. I want to put this to you. James Norwood, it was a joke he didn't start against Peterborough on Saturday. James Norwood has to start on Saturday. What are you saying?
I don't know, actually. I think he should have started against Rotherham because that was his sort of game. Peterborough was a bit different.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know much about Sunderland, really. I don't know if they're a physical side or not, really. I think Will Keane's done all right. To be fair, I would actually start maybe Norwood with Keane, maybe drop Jackson, maybe, but I don't know. It's a tough one, really, because I think all of them are not really in form, really. I think we just need to create chances. I think the midfield is a big talking point, really, for me.
If you do drop Norris here, how does he come back from that? He's sitting on the bench. If Holy's been good for Ipswich, but he's not without his issues as well. If Holy then is shaky, you've got two goalkeepers that you've shaken up. If you back Norris, play him, back him as your number one, you might just get the best out of him. I don't know what he'll do, and it's fascinating.
What would you do?
I don't know. I really don't know what I'd do, and it's why I'm not a football manager. I think he might start Norris.
Yeah?
Yep.
I can see the logic in what you're saying behind the, if he drops him, it ruins him forever, confidence-wise. But then, if there is no penalty for making mistakes and that kind of stuff, what is the point in, where's the motivation for playing well and being rewarded? And you're told, bide your time, your chance will come if you're holy. Keeper keeps making ricks and you still not get put in.
Well, that's been an issue for months, hasn't it? Mm. If this is one mistake too far, then in Lambert's mind, then he makes the change. But he's had this issue ongoing for several months now with a goalkeeper that's not done an awful lot wrong, sitting on the bench behind a goalkeeper that's had a couple of shaky spells. So it wouldn't surprise me if he did it either way, but I could maybe just see him sticking with Norris.
Stuart Watson, what are you saying?
I can see the arguments as Andy's outlined for sticking with Norris, but for me it's got to be Holy, because if that was one bad mistake in isolation last weekend, then sometimes you've got to show faith in someone to go beyond one bad mistake, but that's not the first one, is it? It's probably the third that's led to a goal, and I don't include the Rotherham game in there because I think, you know, there was someone running across him when the ball went in, but Lincoln was a mad dash off the line, Wickham was a mad dash off the line. That's been the issue. It's been the decision making for Will Norris. You know, a different type of bad decision making for the error last weekend, but just making bad decisions at certain points. And like you say, Lambert said a few weeks ago that now this is a settled team, and you play yourself in or out of, you know, you've got the shirt, or you play yourself out of the team, and that would probably be sending out the wrong message, as you say, if you know to Thomas Holy if he wasn't to go in.
Mm. I'm genuinely fascinated by this. I really am, because if it was me, Holy would have been the goalkeeper kind of continually from the time when he was replaced in October. I wouldn't have done that. But I am genuinely fascinated to see what he does, because I think it could tell us quite a lot about Paul Lambert here, in what decision he makes.
Well, Sky, what are you doing?
I think definitely bring in Holy for Norris. I think if you're a goalkeeper and you've... I know it's not always your fault letting four goals, but he's not really in great form at the moment, is he? And the fans are, of course, on his back. But I have that feeling Lambert may start Norris. But if I was him, I'll start Holy now.
They've both played 19 games, interestingly, so far this season. Holy's only conceded 16 goals, never more than two in a game, whereas Norris has conceded 23 and obviously has been in goal for the 5-3 at Lincoln and also the 4-1 at home to Peterborough. So make of that what we will. We will see what happens at Sunderland this weekend. Final statement coming to you, Big Dog, Dr. Stuart Watson. Ipswich Town can't beat the sides around them. They're not going to get in the top two, therefore they ain't going to go up this season. They ain't getting promoted this season because they're not good enough. What are you saying?
The first part of that is factual. They haven't beaten the teams around them at the top, and that has to be a worry. I think we said in Monday's podcast that Rotherham and Peterborough could very well go up as the top two.
Yeah, I think they will.
They look like they're in prime position for that. Peterborough's firepower was always going to give them a great chance. Rotherham just, you know, are a team that we saw the manner in which they came down more confidently than Ipswich, I would say. They're a team that have sort of know what it takes to get out of this division. So does that mean Ipswich won't go up? I guess the fear is that the sort of the flat track bullies tag, that Ipswich will always have enough quality to kind of beat the lesser sides. And, you know, you look at their running on paper, which doesn't always count for a lot, but, you know, it is a reasonable run-in on paper, and that should be enough to see them over the line going into the playoffs. Would you fancy them over two legs against, were they to run into a Portsmouth or a Sunderland or someone like that? At this moment in time, you'd say no, but a few weeks down the line, it might be different. If you were to finish the season really well and go into those games with a bit of confidence, then it's a different conversation. But right now, it's understandable that we're querying that.
Yeah, I'm fully confident they will at least make the playoffs, which is where I think we predicted them at the start of the season. There's obviously been times where it's looked more promising than that. I think they will make the playoffs. as much as anything by virtue of that run that they've got in, and then anything can happen in the playoffs. I don't think talking about the playoffs now is about what's going to happen in them. I don't think how they're playing now has got any relevance to how a playoff tie would end.
Okay. Roscoe, Rostradamus, just checking your hand's still attached there.
Yeah.
What are you saying? Town going up or not?
No.
There you go. That's send it here then, shall we?
Yeah, pretty much.
Not just happening. You seen him getting to the playoffs and then going out in the playoffs?
Yeah. As I actually said, you know, depends on our form. You know, we can have a not great form going through.
Mm.
We can still get in the playoffs, but sometimes anything can happen. The playoffs is a lottery, but I think we won't. I don't think we're good enough to win the playoff games.
One thing's for sure, HMS Pistol League has definitely been sunk. So, yeah, sad times. Let's talk about Sunderland. Let's get into the meat of the Sunderland game. Sunderland are seventh in the league. They were on an incredible run, which was ended at the weekend at fellow promotion rivals Pompey. They got beat 2-0.
Carry on.
Ross just pointing at Stewie there. Just thinking,
what's
going on?
I was wondering, can I borrow some of his tissue?
Oh, okay. There we go. We're sharing tissue now. It's
Sniffles
the,
Club over
it's
there.
It's the club of the unwell in here.
I thought he was suggesting that I should blow my nose.
So, boys, Sunderland, as I say, on a very good run. Then they lost at the weekend to Pompey. They're now outside of the playoff spots in seventh. This is a big game for them as well, as it is for Town. Who wants to start talking about Sunderland?
Sunderland, I'm going to start on a positive. I thought they might lose to Rotherham. I thought they might lose to Peterborough. I think this is a different type of game. I think Sunderland are full of the same doubts and concerns that Ipswich are at the moment. They're a big club, inverted commas, with a weight of expectation on their shoulders. Yes, they were unbeaten for nine, but I was listening to a few Sunderland podcasts this week and they're full of the same concerns as Ipswich, that they're going to mess it up. That little nine-game unbeaten run started to peter out towards the end. They ground out a win on the beach at Tranmere. They weren't particularly good in a 0-0 against Doncaster, and then, by all accounts, were well beaten in the second half at Portsmouth last weekend. It was 2-0, could have been more. And both those goals came from set pieces, so there's a fear that they've got an Achilles heel in terms of defending set pieces. And that's where the hope is that Luke Garbutt's going to be fit for this weekend, because he would be a major weapon in Ipswich's armoury. So I think it's good that Ipswich are probably away from home this weekend after the kind of, I wouldn't go as far as saying toxic atmosphere last weekend, but there was you can just sense some frustration and some worries and some nerves jangling around Portman Road last weekend. So we know their away form's been good, and dare I say it, they go there slightly as underdogs, which has not happened too much this season, and that might just suit Ipswich to go to a big stadium to be, for once, the target's not on their back. They're the ones that are shooting at that target, so I'm hoping all that sort of stuff plays into Ipswich's hands this weekend.
We saw the last time we went up to Sunderland, they were in the process of being relegated from the Championship, weren't they? And you could see how quickly that crowd can get on their players' backs. It's like, if you think Portman Road can get like that when Ipswich are having some wobbly moments, try the stadium alight. When Ipswich took the lead there, my word. And if things aren't going well and you're the Sunderland manager or players, you certainly know it. So if Ipswich can go up there, keep it tight, get something early.
Cliche time.
Yeah.
First goal is crucial.
First goal is
crucial. But it really does feel like that, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it does. So, I think it's a good fixture for Ipswich to have.
Okay. Sunderland, of course, up for sale. They've just lost one of their star players as well to Charlton and Geedy. So, teams-wise, what would you do at the weekend? Obviously, we talked there about Norwood and the keeper situation. Is there anything you're looking to change?
There's one change they have to make, mm-hmm. in that Gwyn Edwards is suspended. So,
yep.
I think a lot of it will depend on Luke Garbutt's fitness. I wouldn't be completely shocked if it switched to a back four, because if you've not got Garbutt and you've not got Edwards, you haven't got the players to do it, have you? Like, to play the wing backs, Danasian and Kenlock, are you going with that? Ross is shaking his head.
Ross is looking dreadful. Good Lord, no, he says.
What do you do? Are you going to stick with it with a back three and two wing backs when your two wing backs aren't there for you? What are you going to do? I don't know.
I don't know. But then you've still got to play you've still got to find two fullbacks for that, that situation, yeah,
but,
haven't you?
But you're a lot happier with Danasian and Kenlock as fullbacks, aren't you? In that scenario. And then I guess you've got to find some wide players from somewhere as well, which aren't in abundance for Ipswich. So I don't know what they'll do. Hopefully, if Luke Garbutt's fit, I could see them sticking with the wing backs and just going with Danasian as the one on the right. If he's not, I think that could maybe prompt a switch of something.
Danasians. We get to see it again.
The problem with switching to a back four is then you've got to find a couple of wide players.
Yeah,
they've really got those now.
Are you going to push Freddie Sears into?
He's not ready to start. Freddie Sears looks, I hate to say it, but he looks short of it at the moment in the few little cameos.
Where's he going to get it from? Like, they don't seem keen to play players like that in under 23 football. Lambert's open in that. Where do players like? Bring back rotation, I say.
You'd end up with Alan Judge out on the wing again, wouldn't you? You know,
and who on the right? Edwards is suspended.
Is Danny Rowe still injured?
Yep.
Jackson, maybe?
No, he's
not on a 4-4-4, no.
I think he's made it pretty clear. 4-3-3? Doesn't see that. Yeah, 4-3-3, I mean, that's an option. Yeah. That's definitely
well,
an
option. That's probably what I would do. Yeah. I think I'd go with a back four, central three. Probably would have to be Judge. And then... yeah, probably go with Jackson on the right. But I think, like Stu said at the very start of this, I think a lot of what he does with his team hinges on Garbutt.
Mm.
Garbutt's fitness, which hopefully he's okay. He walked off under his own power, didn't he? And who knows? But yeah, hopefully he's fit.
What's the latest on Hughes? Do we know? Has there been any update there?
It's just a knock, they said.
Yeah.
So
I mean, speaking after last week's game, that Lambert was hopeful that both Bishop and Hughes would be available for this weekend. He said if there had been a midweek game this week, then they'd have been struggling. But
Bishop wide? He's tried, again, Lambert's done that before.
Yeah, big ask to chuck him straight in from the start, though, if he's just had a little setback, isn't it? So he's got a few conundrums and not the best type. I mean, 4-3-3, you want a couple of wide type strikers, and I'm not sure that Keane or, you know, Jackson, yes, but Keane or Norwood, probably not.
No.
Sears, as we've discussed, isn't probably ready.
Someone's going to be asked to do something they're not comfortable with in this side of the weekend, aren't they? Whatever they end up going with, even if that someone is just Janoi Danasian playing as a wing-back.
Yeah, or even if you go with 4-3-3 with sort of two up front with one in just behind, but then all of a sudden you've got no width there, and you can't be asking those two full-backs to provide that width, so...
Garbutt needs to be fit, doesn't he?
He does need to be fit.
Roscoe, is there anything you'd do with the team?
I'll definitely play 4-3-3, but of course it depends on Garbutt being fit. That's why I'm feeling about this game. I can't see us creating any chances again.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm not doing predictions now, but I'm just going to put out there we're going to lose again. I know it's been really not positive at all, but I don't know.
You're the ultra pragmatist realist
in
this situation.
Yeah.
Boys, is there anything else you want to mention about Sunderland before we get to the uncomfortable predictions?
I mean, they signed five players in January,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think they're too happy about the business that they've done, reading and listening to what Sunderland fans have had to say. They got a £10 million loan in December and were told that they were going to significantly boost the squad. They've gone and got Cole Lafferty, who... was playing in the second division of Norway, was he?
Sarpsborg.
So they've got him back. He can be a handful on his days. Josh Scowen, who's played a fair bit of championship football for QPR. I think he's been brought in to be their new Lee Catamol to add a bit of bite to midfield. I think the two things that, by all accounts, they were lacking was a bit of bite in midfield and a bit of pace and power up front. They've brought in Lafferty to be a bit more of a target man, and they've brought in... the lad whose name escapes me from Bristol City on loan, who's a
Bailey Wright.
No, he's the defender. The,
from Bristol City as well, isn't he?
Striker. Anyway.
I know who you mean. Something.
Semenyo or something like that.
Semenyo.
So they've brought in a few, but not the calibre of signing that they were hoping for. So Phil Parkinson is, I think, was an underwhelming managerial appointment for a club like Sunderland, who was out of work and... But he's a good, experienced manager, knows the lower leagues, and They'll be feeling their thoughts and fears will be exactly the same as Ipswich is at the moment, except they're 1 year down the line in their League One journey.
Yep.
So what you're saying is Town have got to come flying out the blocks, put them under the cosh, try and get that first
goal. That's why I would play Norwood and Jackson if we're talking about a front two, because we've seen that those two can, we're not talking about necessarily like scoring goals early on, but at least come out and put the defence under some pressure and create some nervy moments, charge the goalkeeper down, get the crowd turned, that kind of thing. I really like what those two can do. They're not a natural partnership. They're very similar strikers, and they're not necessarily a partnership that you would want as your front two if you're trying to get promoted. But in terms of that kind of role, they're perfect.
Okay,
and that's why I would use those two.
Prediction time then, boys. Hutchie Hogan, what are you saying?
1-1.
Good point.
Some people will think it's a good point. Others will think it's not.
I think it's not a good point. Stuart Watson.
I don't think they'll lose.
Okay.
I think it might be 1-1 as well. Okay. I think it might be 1-1.
It just feels like
part of me wants to say that they might nick a win, but going back to our concerns, they don't score enough, they don't create enough chances, and that's my concern.
So two votes for 1-1. Roscoe, we already know you think they're going to lose. What's the score going
to
be?
At first, to be fair, after we lost against PR, I thought, OK, we're going to go up to Sunderland and shit out some, like a 3-0 win. But I just.
So what's happened over the last 6 days then?
Is it possible to shit house a 3-0 win?
But in terms of just playing crap, basically playing crap, but just somehow
scoring three goals.
Yeah, okay.
What is the origin of that word? Like, what does it actually mean?
It's a classic football term, isn't it? Shithousing.
But what does it mean?
It depends what context. I mean, you can be a shithouse, can't you? Which is, I believe, a northern term for someone who's you're not a big fan of. But you can also use it as a verb, to shithouse.
Getting something you don't particularly deserve. Via dark arts and con artistry.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Sorry.
I think we've had this chat before. I think you've previously made your opposition
to
shithouse.
I don't like it.
Don't like it. Okay, that's your right. It's your right. It's
fine. I don't like it.
You're not a shithouse.
Like, thanks very much.
It's like conning someone out of something but wearing it quite proudly on your sleeve. Yeah. You're quite proudly going to be
Say it as many times as you want, but still don't like it.
So, Roscoe...
That's not going to happen, but yeah, we're going to probably lose 2-0.
2-0. I'm going to say Town 1-0 win.
Oh.
Just so we've got the full range. And also, I think that's what I predicted back when I did that four-game run, which all went tits up against Peterborough at the weekend. Anyway, boys.
They always go wrong, don't they? Let's be completely honest. Predicting a month's worth of games at once.
It's a farce.
Every time any of us have ever done
that. Absolute joke.
It's a joke.
It's a joke.
Take one game at a time. Everyone knows that.
Exactly. Please continue to read it when we do it. But it's an absolute joke.
Hey, what we do for a job is a joke. If you don't mind me saying.
Absolutely.
It's mental. We get paid for this. Crazy. Anyway, boys, let's move on. Let's move away from the football and the big game at Sunderland this weekend, because I've got a game that I want to play. Are we excited?
Very much.
You don't
so.
Look very excited. Anyway.
I need to play the Saw themed tonight then.
They're doing a new one of them.
Saw 94.
No,
this time it's really bad.
No, it's Chris Rock. Is the investigating?
Oh, come on! What, yeah. A comedy version of Saw.
No. I watched the trailer. The trailer came up on YouTube last night. It's a serious. He's playing a serious role.
But to be fair, he's not really done much, Chris Rock.
No, to be fair.
While, so
what are they going to do though? Because obviously each one's got to be worse than the other in terms of the terrible things that happen. So
they're targeting cops.
Oh, they have to cops this time, turning them inside out and stuff like that.
I don't know. Who knows? Yeah,
I look forward to it. The first Saw was brilliant.
Yeah,
the rest of them.
Yeah, the first one was really good.
Diminishing marginal returns.
Because you genuinely didn't see that coming, did you? When the twist happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Others milking it.
Absolutely.
New one. We'll do a review when it comes out.
Absolutely.
We'll do a review.
So, boys, this game has been sent in by a member of the KOA Army. Stu, just confirm he's still alive.
Yes.
Excellent. Kevin Mays. Is the listener who sent this to me. He tweeted, going back to some discussion we've had before, and indeed at the live pod, about the old game of what I would call knock and run, but Stu laughably calls it knockdown ginger. Turns out that 28% of the population in this vote, which Kevin brought to my attention, also called it knockdown ginger, which is by far the winner in that race. So
Vindicated.
So I will never accept this as fact. Anyway, I kind of opined in that respect that anyone who calls it knockdown ginger must be a toff, and drive a Land Rover and go shooting and stuff like that. So Kevin has emailed me and said, after the revelation that Stu was correct in the naming of knockdown ginger on your accusation that 28% of the population were gas-guzzling, privately educated, horse-owning, animal-slaying toffs, I thought it might be pertinent for you all to take a toff test on the next pod. This will determine who is the toffiest of them all. The rules are simple. 1 point per relevant answer, and the person with the most points is the poshest member of the KOA pod. Right? Yep. Simple. 11 questions. We're going to do this now. First question. Were you privately educated? No from me.
No.
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 Stu could have been privately educated. He took the test, but then decided to keep it real. Is that right?
I think you should almost get a minus point because you've pushed against it.
I wouldn't have been privately educated.
I thought it was a posh school.
It was a posh school, but I wouldn't have paid to go there.
Ah, okay. So I thought it was a scholarship sort of vibe.
No.
Okay, I was wrong.
So 11 plus, it's another thing that you didn't believe to existed.
Yeah, Stu took the 11 plus, which I thought went out in about 1960, but it turns out they did still do it in his part of Essex.
You can still find them.
Absolutely. Next question. Do you have more than one middle name? This would immediately indicate you have some blue blood in your heritage.
No.
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 No. What is everyone's middle name? Mine's Peter.
Me and Ross have got the same middle name.
David.
David.
Yeah, solid.
John.
Excellent. All solid
beyond,
names.
Beyond solid. John.
Solid biblical names. So we're all still on zero. Do you own more than two animals? This would indicate you have livestock. Obviously, I've only got one, as we all know, B unit.
I've got a cat.
You've got a tiger.
Yeah. None.
None.
Okay, this is we're all very working class at the moment. Is your garden bigger than the 18-yard box? This would indicate you're a landowner. My garden is not bigger than an 18-yard box.
I haven't got a garden.
There you go. You are winning.
No.
Mine is probably longer than 18 yards, but it's very thin. So in terms of square meterage,
okay.
No, it's not.
So you're saying it's not bigger?
No.
I think Andy's got the biggest garden, having seen all of your respective gardens.
it's not bigger than an 18-yard box in terms of square meters.
Hutchie, inches ahead, but not actually in points.
I don't think so.
Do you have any friends, family, or acquaintances with the following names? 1 point per name. Godfrey, Humphrey, Tarquin, Charles, Clarence, Edmund, Francis, Randall, or Windsor?
Windsor?
Imagine someone with the first name Windsor. Mm. The guy who used to present this podcast was called Edmund Crosswaite.
Massive toff.
Massive flamboyant train-fancying toff.
Kicked him out, didn't we?
Absolutely. But he technically is an acquaintance, I suppose.
Former colleague.
Does that count?
Nice guy, former... I don't...
Yeah. He'd be the only one ticking boxes for me.
My mate Will's stepdad is called Charles.
Charlie.
Does that count? Probably not.
I don't know.
I think it's a no.
It's a no?
No.
You would surprise me, Ross, if you had a friend called Tarquin.
Ross kicking about up Chantry with his mates Godfrey, Tarquin and Windsor.
Next question, number six. Do you own a handkerchief?
No.
No.
Neither do I. Number seven, do you own any tweed garments? I do. I have two excellent tweed suits. So that's
and the
point.
Fact you've just said two excellent tweed suits means you are the winner. I've got no tweed.
I don't know what it is.
So. What? Come on. You don't know what tweed is?
No.
As a material?
No. Okay. Should I know?
Probably. But
so I am now winning 1-0-0-0. Do you employ any of the following staff at home? 1 point for each. Cleaner, gardener, nanny, driver, chef or butler?
All of them.
My wife at one point was talking seriously about getting a cleaner.
That doesn't surprise me.
Mm. What does that mean?
Well, just because you're very much of the opinion if you can pay someone else to do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You've said that on the podcast that's very a few
true.
Times.
Number nine. Looking like I'm going to win this, or lose it, as the case may be. Do you use the word awfully in a positive sense, i.e. that food was awfully tasty?
No.
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 No, neither do I. Number 10, oh man.
Have you ever holidayed in any of the following places? 1 point for each destination. Val d'Isère.
Never heard of it.
Monaco. Saint-Tropez. Capri. Or Barbados. Now, I've been to Barbados. That's another point for me.
It's not posh, though, is it? Barbados?
I didn't think it was posh. I mean, obviously, that's where Marcus is based, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a no from me.
I want to go there.
You should. Barbados is beautiful. Yeah. I'm not sure I'd call it posh.
Okay.
I've been to Barbados once as part of a cruise.
There you go.
Does that count?
Well, in that case...
I think it probably does.
Is a cruise posh?
Well,
could be. Anyway.
It's not on the list of questions.
Excuse me.
My mother-in-law has been on loads of cruises. She ain't posh. So, no.
So, going into the final question, it's 2-1-0-0. Number 11, final question. Have you eaten caviar?
No.
That surprises me. I thought you would have done. In your Scandi tours.
No. Nope.
I haven't either.
It was on offer, but I did touch it.
Do you know what caviar is?
Yeah, sort of.
What is it?
Don't know, actually.
It sounds disgusting, and this is the reason that I can't understand why anyone would eat it. It's fish eggs.
Yeah.
Sturgeon eggs, to be more accurate. Why would you eat that?
Posh. Who's decided that that's like... It's like anything, isn't it? Who decides that that's... That's a delicacy.
That's good, is it?
In the same way, foie gras, and also laughably called sweetbreads.
Yeah.
Which is basically offal, the innards, the pancreas of an animal.
Some gizzard, please.
Exactly.
Here's a force-fed duck.
Yeah, get that down, yeah.
Mm.
That brings us to the end of the quiz, then, and it appears I've won. I'm the poshest member of the KOA pod.
You do live in West Suffolk as well.
Isn't that posh?
The westest of West Suffolk.
No, that's true. And he also said, if all else fails and you all got 0 points, obviously that didn't happen, but the tiebreaker question would have been, what's the most expensive bottle of wine you've ordered?
I would put my life on it being you that had ordered the most expensive bottle of wine.
Yeah. Well, you don't really drink wine, do you?
No.
So it's not going to be you.
I think we've discussed life rules is always to just go one up from the bottom. Yeah. That tends to be where I go. Yeah.
Don't be a proper cheapskate, but definitely don't go mad. Starts with sausages.
Depends if you have the quality.
Go on. What's the most you've paid?
£70.
Never bought any wine.
You've never bought wine?
No.
You've never bought a bottle of wine?
No.
I don't believe you. How can you not have done that?
Does Asti count? Is that Asti? Is that what else should I pay, isn't it?
I think we've established that Ross finishes bottom of this list. Yep. Okay, so I'm officially the poshest member. Have we got any posh music we can play? Just while we're going out. Kevin says, this was too long for a tweet. Keep up the good work, chaps. I love the pod.
The Rocky theme is not
That's
posh
not
music.
Posh. Jesus Christ. I suppose it sounds a little bit like a coronation.
It's a fanfare.
Yeah, okay. So Mark Peter Heath, the poshest member of the KOA pod by virtue of having been to Barbados. And owning 2 tweed suits.
Let's chuck the bottle of wine in as
and
well.
The bottle of wine, okay. But that's not that much money for a bottle of wine. I mean,
it's all relative to the people you're up against,
exactly.
Let's be honest.
Exactly. And Kevin says, let's get the kids out on the street playing Knockdown Ginger.
She should get a point for that for a start, shouldn't he?
Well, I think she should win just for that, because any Knockdown Ginger, ridiculous. Anyway, that brings us to the end of the quiz. I'm the poshest member of the KOA pod. I think we've decided that Ross is not.
I'd like to know who the poshest listener is, if you've scored yourself on that.
I think absolutely. Do let us know. I think we met a couple of posh listeners at the live pod, didn't we? There was Dimitri, famously sports the mustard chinos, and also Matt, who I believe I'd class in the potential posh category.
Mustard chinos is probably in the ballpark for getting a point in this quiz, isn't
it? I would
it?
Say so, yeah. Yeah,
so you can have a point for that.
I can have a point as well. Boys, let's do mailbag. Let's get on to mailbag. Let's get back to football and proper questions.
Mailbag, mailbag. It's time for Mark, Andy, Stu and Ross to dip into the mailbag.
Boop, boop. The whole damn squad is here for mailbag. Benjamin Herrier. Seeing that we can no longer refer to our club as HMS Pisser League, is there a name that's more suitable that we can give it? Sleeping Giant.
Can I tell you something else that I hate?
Yeah.
Banter Club.
Okay. There is a question that refers to Banter Club later
don't
on.
Like,
so
don't like
so
it.
I won't ask that one.
No, ask it. Ask it away. I don't like it.
Anyway. Sleeping Giant surely applies.
The original name of this, absolutely. This podcast.
The Slumbering...
Comatose Giant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Flatline Giant. Yeah. Any other offers? No?
I was trying to come up with... what can the I stand for?
Irritating.
Itchy.
Infuriating.
Infuriating town, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll go with that. Harvey Davis.
Friend of the show.
Number 4.
Welsh
three.
Wizard.
Three, the Welsh Wizard.
The sweet Welsh Prince, as you called him the other day. if we switch to 4-4-2 on Saturday, is there a case for playing Wilson and Wolfenden and dropping Chambers?
Ooh.
Not for me.
No.
I'll drop Wilson.
Luke, yeah. Luke's not been... Luke Chambers has... Well, none of the back three have probably covered themselves in glory the last two games. I think Wilson probably out of the three would be the one I'm looking at. I think he's had a season of real sort of peaks and troughs, says James Wilson. Really good at the start. Then he got his new contract. Then he went off the boil a bit. Then he really picked up. And then he's the last couple of games he's gone off it again a little bit. So for Chambers' leadership, I'd be going for him and Wolfenden if it was a two.
I'd be more tempted to go with Wolfenden to right back in that scenario and play Chambers and Wilson.
I interviewed Luke Wolfenden recently for Kings of Anglia magazine. Look out for that.
I've read that. It's really interesting.
Thank you. And I talked to him, just a little insight into the right back situation. I said to him about does he get any stick online and how does he deal with that? And he said, obviously, I've not had too much so far, but I have seen one or two people suggest that I'm slow on Twitter. But he said the stats will show you that I'm one of the quickest at the club. And I brought up his, I think it might have been his debut, the Crystal Palace League Cup game. And he played right back then, and Townsend came off the bench, fresh legs of Townsend, quick as you like, and Wolfenden dealt with him that night. And I sort of brought that up, and he said, yeah, those were my right back days. I think I've got a bit slower since then, he sort of said jokingly. So
okay.
I don't know if he'd be bang up for right back, but we know he can do it, and it's not impossible.
He can definitely do it.
Would suit him. He's been bombing on from centre back as it is, so he'd probably give you a bit more of an attacking presence from there.
Fear the Wolf. Wolfie also is quite active on Twitter. He quite often likes stuff that we put out, which is nice.
What did he describe himself as on Twitter?
He's a social media stalker.
Yeah.
Just stalking.
And he's open about it, which is great.
You should relate to that, Stu. Bit of a voyeur on your social media.
Yeah, yeah.
Nigel G.
Friend of the show.
The man.
Number 10.
No, number 9.
With the big fish.
Big carp. Is the hashtag honey badger, sorry, bass, Billy Bass. Is the hashtag honey badger, emojis, tactically naive and struggling to have a plan B ready if plan A is not working? Would, he says, for example, Dazelle instead of Skuse have given Town a more creative edge against Peterborough? And he says perhaps KOA should do another SWOT analysis of our current situation. So, tactics and Lambert. Any concerns there?
Tactically naive. Just a phrase that's just chucked about willy-nilly. Tactically inept is another
tactically
one.
Tactically inept, mate.
Thrown around.
No plan B.
That's what Nigel's saying.
Yeah.
Sounds like you'd agree, Ross.
Yeah.
Well, we've just discussed the sort of limited options in terms of going into this weekend. It's easy to chuck it all at the manager. I think the last two games is... I think the players have got to have a look at that, haven't they? You know, they sometimes... It's all about, well, it's Evans. The bigger picture is Evans has led us to this point, and that's a far bigger debate. Then it all becomes about the manager. At some point, you know, these are experienced players. Lambert keeps talking about their young players and trying to deflect from that. They're not young players. They're experienced players. They're playing for Ipswich Town. They're in League One. There's no real sort of budget excuses or anything like that anymore. They shouldn't have been beaten in the manner they were the last couple of games, and that's on the players, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, the tactical thing is kind of almost opened himself up for those questions by the rotation and the changing systems and not settling on things, and that's kind of opened that one up. But yeah, I think Stu's right. I think Lambert says it's about players, not systems, and in many ways I do
I do agree with him on that. There are players that need to take more responsibility. They need to take more responsibility as a group, and maybe take some of that off of their manager.
Aaron Testa, Azaboom.
Quiz strike winner.
He's actually included that in the hashtag. When humans finally die out, what will take over the planet? And he's added hashtag KOA, hashtag live strike W, which I assume he meant to write winner, but ran out of
the
will.
Claimed the W, didn't he?
Of course, live strike W. So when humans finally die out, which can't be long, looking at the state of you all in this room, what will take over the planet?
Crocodiles, probably.
Yeah, I mean, they've been around for a long time already.
Exactly.
Prehistoric.
Bulletproof.
Absolutely.
They know what they're doing. They're sitting it out.
Yeah.
Waiting, just sitting there with their mouths open.
Sharks.
Is that like the rise of the dinosaurs again? They'll just evolve and...
Yeah, they're coming back. Again. I think sharks need to sort themselves out in terms of... We've talked about sharks with legs before on this podcast. I cannot remember why.
Live podcast, I think.
But we definitely have. Until a shark can cut it on the land, then they've got no
future. When the ice caps have all melted and that, there'll be loads more sea, and then probably aquatic animals will come into their own.
Possibly, but I think that's where the crocodile's got the best of both, because he can handle himself in the water and he can get up on land and do the business. I'm including alligators in this as well, by the way. They'll rise up as one.
I'm going to say you'd have to have alligators, because crocodiles don't live in salt water, do they?
True.
So a kind of alligator crocodile clone merge.
Well, they'll start mating,
yeah.
Which is probably possible, so they'll do that. And that's what's going to inherit the earth, yeah.
The crocogator.
And they will keep humans in zoos.
Yeah.
And sanctuaries.
It's about time.
Just breeding programs.
Surely, I mean, most likely is some sort of form of AI is going to arise up in some sort of sci-fi style.
Like Terminator, essentially.
But for me, after humans, there will be nothing.
Dust.
Because we'll have blown up the planet, is that what you're saying? Just being nuclear annihilation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So don't worry about it. Ipswich might go up, they might not. Chill out.
It's all really insignificant when you consider we'll be dead in the not-too-distant future.
We are just the specks of dust.
Exactly. This is where Stu gets really deep and we get talking about astrology and black holes and specks of sand.
Using different bits of your brain. Have you recorded that podcast yet?
No, someone tweeted me, actually. I need to get back to him saying that they just blew me out of the water with some piece of evidence to say that's all a myth.
Don't worry about evidence.
That is
mate.
What somebody who's only using 10% of their brain would say, exactly. Wouldn't they? Naysayer.
Exactly.
Well, there's an article here that says that's nonsense. I'm going to believe that. You're using more of your brain. You don't.
Exactly.
I still find that fascinating. And also, obviously, I accuse Ross of not having an internal monologue, which was, in hindsight, of all of us, the most likely not to, because of the way your brain works, is Stu, I think. Because I've done quite a lot more reading about this now. Now, people who can't hear their inner voice, their thoughts, apparently can either see words, so they see their thoughts as words, as opposed to a voice. Or, so if you're thinking something, you see the words.
What, like they're reading a book in their own mind.
Or, some people just can't do that at all, and they have to vocalise things. Now, you, when we're talking about stuff, you have to talk around stuff to the nth degree. And I wondered if that might be because...
I have to show my working out.
You do. But you say you can hear your thoughts as well.
I think so, but I'm not 100% on it.
You think so? This is interesting.
I don't know. Is everyone, like, really confident that you can...
Absolutely,
that
I
you're
am.
Having, like, a conversation in your head? I don't 100%. Know if I hear it as a voice. I don't know if thought... I don't know.
I definitely do. I was just thinking then what lovely olive skin Ross has got. And in my mind, I could hear myself saying it.
Yeah.
There are times when your brain feels very busy and loud and you want it to kind of shut down a little bit. So I assume that's kind of...
And that's when I get Football Manager out.
Yeah.
Shut down.
It really is fascinating because obviously then goes right the other way of the spectrum. And there's people, like you say, literally can't switch that voice off. And that's when you get into mental health problems and stuff like that.
There are some people that have two voices.
Yeah.
That's when you're in problems.
Absolutely. Or more. Dave Gort, do ITFC? Oh, this is spot on. Actually, I didn't even know this was the next question. Do ITFC have a psychologist currently? If not, do you think it would be a good idea to appoint one? A lot of the on-field failings of the past 10 years are attributed to mental and character factors. I'm also sure that George Burley brought one in during the playoff seasons.
Yeah, I think he did. I don't think they've ever had one on the staff. Mm. It was more of a sort of, you're going to, there's someone there to talk to if you want to.
Sports psychology is a big thing,
isn't it? Kind of thing, rather than somebody as a mind coach, essentially. Mm. It was more of a facility that was there should people want it.
Yeah, I don't know if it necessarily works if you're trying to force the whole squad to sit around and listen to someone. It's like Andy says, it's more a case of this service is available. Flynn Downs has spoken openly about seeking a sports psychologist or just a general psychologist with his, you know, overthinking and anxiety and stuff like that. I know they had one sort of full-time for the academy boys where they were just kind of putting them through sort of gentle psychological tests just to kind of get a sense of what type of characters they were. I don't know if that person is still working for the club. I haven't seen them for a little while, actually. But, yeah, maybe just get Eileen Drury in.
No,
yeah.
Don't get her in.
Yeah, that's... yeah.
You want the guy, you want the doctor, what's his name, Peters, don't you? The cage you're in a chimp guy. That's what you want. I'm going to get him over here, sorting us out. Adrian, what?
Eileen Drury, don't do that.
Don't bring that up.
She's still working?
She's still alive, first of all. Because she was quite old back then.
It's all good questions.
She's probably alive again.
Yeah.
Exactly. As a. What would she be?
Well, she had. She had some thoughts, didn't she, about the afterlife and. And why people are... Anyway, let's not get into that Hoddle?
Was that her telling Hoddle?
It was them. It was them in conjunction with each other came to this conclusion, didn't they?
Yeah, not
is
good.
Is my mic crazy loud?
Not particularly, no. Okay. I can hear you.
I'm having to hold it very far away.
Is your mic hot, as they say in the industry? Adrian Hawes, chronic lack of leadership on the pitch in the last two games. Who are our field leaders? Do we have any? And then Adrian says, is it time to change the captain for a new voice and mentality? Adrian, calm yourself. Get rid of Luke Chambers as captain. That'd be like the Crows, the Ravens leaving the Tower of London, would it not?
That's not something I would be thinking of doing in any way whatsoever, to be honest. Because I do not know who you would...
Flynn Downs.
Mm. Well, I mean, there will be a changeover at some point, and I think the sort of... the crossover from the Scoos Chambers era to something different is going to be a big one for Ipswich.
But while he's still playing, you can't do that, can you?
No, not at the moment. I think he's... don't underestimate how much Luke cares for this football club and how much he wants this. Okay, his performances haven't been up to scratch the last couple of games, but at the start of this new Sheffield United-style playing era, him and Wolfenden were having a lot of the ball. He was getting... forward pretty well. I wouldn't be changing that at the moment. But the point about sort of leaders all over the pitch, I guess, is pretty valid. I think you always need like a mini captain in each area of the pitch. Without Norwood up front, I think he provides a bit of that in his own sort of lead by example kind of way. I guess Downs is growing into that mould in midfield at the moment. I think you still need Chambers in there.
Got to.
ITFC follower asked quite a lot of questions, but his main point is, what's the likelihood of Marcus Evans agreeing to an open interview with fans? And then he goes on to say that he's not a big fan of Marcus. So Marcus Evans speaking openly to the fans, that's never going to happen, is it? I think
Marcus has made it quite clear how he communicates with fans, hasn't he? It's through the club, through his quite scheduled, rigid start of the season. He normally... does something at the turn of the year, doesn't he? And then April time.
Season ticket time, yeah. Yeah, I would say that is slim to none.
A pipe dream. We'll take a couple more questions because we've all got places to be. Jack, do we have a big club mentality in League One? Yes, we are a big club, but two wins in a row and we're all wondering where the squad will finish in the Championship, and then two losses and it's Clegg out. Do we all need to be more balanced and realistic as to where we are as a club?
Yeah. But balanced and realistic isn't usually fun, is it? The fun of following football is the ups
but
and
also,
the downs.
Also, you have to have high expectations, otherwise, what's the point? You've got to strive to achieve, haven't you? And it's very, very realistic that Ipswich Town should be getting out of this league at the first time of asking. So, I don't think that's...
It's realistic that they could be. To think that they were ever going to walk it, I think, was a bit naive. But there's nothing wrong with that. That's part of the fun of following football, I would say.
Peter Dwerryhouse, one of my favourite names. At this current moment in time, which three teams are going up? He also wants to know, which to me is the more interesting part. Also, has he missed the question, how many goals would Stu score for Celtic? And did he hit his prime at 14 like Ross did? You wouldn't have heard this, Stu. There was a podcast last week where Peter asked, if you played every minute of every game for Celtic up front, how many goals would you score in a season?
Every minute of every game. You would never be substituted.
Whatever you did, you would not come off. How many goals would you score? Now, I said none. I think, Hutchie, you said one.
I would back myself to score once.
Ross said 10. And then revealed that he once scored 25 goals as a 14-year-old. That was his prime. That was his peak. Now, Stewie, of the four of us in this room, you are probably the man who fancies himself most as a baller. So how many goals would you score?
As a right back.
Yeah. You're playing up front, though, so you're out of position.
Before you all said anything, I was thinking one. I might fluke one, at one point.
Header?
I get a tap in. Yeah, header or something like that.
Yeah.
You'd be hanging about on the... What we would do would be hanging about on the line. The keeper would save a shot from somebody much better at football than us, and we would knee it in or something.
If you know you're not coming off, you don't have to make any effort at all, do you, in the rest of the game? You can literally just hang around the goal kind of area. What's he doing?
What a degrading experience this would be. Can you imagine the Celtic fans as well?
They'll be on your back big time, baby.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Celtic are a big club. You have to be able to handle the expectation.
Big club. Big club. And the other thing is, which three teams are going up? So you both said Rotherham and Peterborough. Yeah. And through the playoffs, are you prepared to be bold?
Portsmouth.
Pompey.
Yeah, that's who I was going to say as well.
Okay. I just want to get to a couple of questions we've had asked via the KOA direct messages. First of all, question from Jack Slader.
Hey.
Friend of the show.
Number four. He's back.
I don't know if this is prompted by you calling friends out the other day.
I didn't call anyone out. I just suggested that you might not want to completely rest
on... We're saying to Ipswich, keep your standards high. Don't fall into that subconscious complacency. Yeah, it's the same.
I'm not saying anything's going to happen, but just you're not immune to it.
But it's good to have you back, Jack. Yeah, resident great. Chef. Question for the next pod, he says, does Nolan really fit in the team anymore? Would it be better to play Dizel over playing him?
I don't see an awful lot between the two of them, if I'm honest.
No, me neither.
And I think both of them are best in a midfield three.
Okay. Final question for Mailbag. Sindre Eliasson, the Viking from Norway. First of all, he says, Honey Badger is Honning Greveling in Norwegian. Thought Hutch would like to know that.
It's a much better word.
Honning Greveling.
Honning Greveling.
And he also says...
Hurning.
Jack Lancaster, where on earth will he be playing if Lambert sticks with 3-5-2? The only solution for me would be in the 10, but with fierce competition from AJ, Teddy and Nolo, I think he'd struggle for games.
Yeah, in that formation, he's the 10. But I think he could play as one of the strikers with the right... We talked about this the other week, didn't we? I think he could play as one of the strikers with the right partner, but he'd be better in the 10. Much better on the right, cutting in on his left foot, though.
Okay. Let's bring it to an end. There, shall we? End of mailbag. Thanks for everyone who's got involved. If I haven't had time to read out your questions, I do apologise, but we only have a set amount of time today because we've got to be off and doing stuff. Boys, Sunderland this weekend. Roscoe is heading up on Friday afternoon. Where are you staying?
Airbnb with the boy Liam from Crewe.
Top lad, Liam. So he's your driver again this weekend?
Yes, he is.
Good lad. David Fleischer was good fun, wasn't he, after the Peterborough game?
Yes.
Is he aware of his...
Yes,
infamy now.
He did a blackout on Twitter for a few days to let it all simmer down a little bit.
Yeah.
But he enjoyed it.
He's approaching like Arsenal TV kind of status now. Boys, you going up on Saturday morning, I assume, in the Scarlet Lady?
Yep.
It's a long way, isn't it?
Yep.
A long way. And then Hutch, you're off to Milan?
Yep.
On Sunday?
Yep.
When are you flying there?
Midday.
Lovely. So you're going straight from there to watch the footy? Wow.
And a day of culture on the Monday.
I've got to say, by the way, fair play to you, to your missus, for agreeing to go along and watching the
She's up for it. As long as it's something decent, she would never, ever come and watch anything at Ipswich. No chance. But if it's something decent, that's a kind of a bit of a cultural
thing as well.
Inter.
Is that your your cat
not in the Milan derby. They're just the home team.
And then you're doing culture as well. So is that like a trade-off? Is that she says I'll come to the football if we go and do something?
No, I'm cultured, isn't
I? You are cultured. You revealed you've been watching ballet and all sorts. Fantastic.
Yeah.
I think that earns you a point on the TOF scale, actually.
What, going to the ballet?
Absolutely.
I've been to ballet, been to opera. I'm going to a ballet in Ipswich soon, actually.
Are you?
Yeah. Wow. The Russian state ballet are coming to Ipswich.
I tell you, this reminds me. TV recommendation. It's on Netflix. It's called Cheer, which is about a cheerleading squad, a community college in America, which is the best cheerleading squad in America. They do it competitively. And when you say cheerleaders, I'm not talking about Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders. I'm talking proper tumbling. Girls are getting thrown in the air, landing on each other. People are getting knocked out. Guys are breaking their legs, flipping over. It's honestly one of the most brutal things I've ever seen. It's really, really, really good. We binge-watched it in about 2 days over the weekend. Cheer. Give it a look. Fantastic. Stewie, anything else to mention before we close the doors?
No other business.
Roscoe?
No business.
Excellent. Well, enjoy your weekend. Obviously, if you are going to Sunderland, drive safe. Enjoy the game. Hopefully, Town will come back with at least a point. And we'll speak to you again on Monday.
From true crime to football, Brexit to
football. Just chuck it in, mate.
Yeah, whenever.
That's botched the outro, isn't it?
To be fair, Roscoe has made me look a right mug there, because on the list, on the pod plan, that was coming up.
Yes.
So
we've just talked all over it as well. It's disrespectful to the folklore.
I talked all over it. I was meant to, of course, say, if you have enjoyed this, hit subscribe on your various podcast providers and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. Roscoe, I apologise to you. I'm a shambles, and I hereby resign as host.
Don't listen to any of those podcasts on that advert either. Go and listen to the Bowditch one. Go and listen to the Bielkowski one, and go listen to Glancing Header.
Absolutely. Stu's leaving. See you, Stu.
He needs a poo.